The second thing that we read about Lucifer here, he says, I will raise my throne. Verse 13, he says, for I will exalt my throne above the stars. What is he saying there? I will exalt my throne above the stars. In the Old Testament particularly, the stars would indicate the angels. And what he's saying here is he says, not only will I usurp God's authority, not only will I invade heaven, but secondly, I want to be above all the other angels. I want to have that place. This is pride. What's interesting is this is in our human nature as well, isn't it? I want that place. I want that preeminent place. I want people to look at me. That's in our nature. And so when we think about this, we think about this, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Usurping God's authority. Raising himself above all the other angels. And then the third thing he says, I will sit on the mount of the congregation. The mount of congregation. This term mount is used in scripture. Oftentimes, particularly in the Old Testament, it's used to emphasize authority. And so what he's saying here is I want to exalt my throne above the stars, and I will sit on the mountain. I will sit in a place of authority in the congregation. So he wanted to usurp the authority of God. He wanted to be above all the angels. And thirdly, we find that what he wants to do is he wants that authority. You can always tell people that want authority, right? And if you have to tell people you want authority, if you have to tell people that you're in charge, guess what? You're not in charge. If you have to tell somebody you're in charge, you're really not in charge. Because people will see that you're in charge. You don't have to tell them. And so what we find here is Lucifer says that I want to usurp the authority of God. I want to be above all the other angels. I want to exercise this authority over all. And then notice this, the fourth thing. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now what is this? The heights of the clouds. In the Old Testament, remember, God revealed himself. God revealed his glory in the clouds. And so I would suggest to us that what Lucifer was saying is, he says, I want the glory of God. I want that glory. And God says, I will share my glory with no one else. And he says, Lucifer says, I want that place of glory. And God says, that's not going to happen. And the fifth thing that we find here, he says, I will make myself like the Most High. That's his ultimate goal. I will make myself like the Most High. And so we find then that Lucifer is kicked out of heaven. And a third of the angels went with him. So now he has his army with him. And he is out of heaven. And we find all the way through scripture this spiritual battle that takes place. We might say, well, how does this apply to you and I? Well, we know that when God created the heavens and the earth, and God created man and placed man in the garden, God said to mankind, I want you to have dominion over the earth. I want you to subdue the earth. I want you to have that dominion. I want you to be in charge. This is the position I've given mankind. He's made man a little lower than the angels, Psalm 8 says. And he's placed man in that position of authority. And what did man do? What did Adam do? Satan sees that. And Satan being the adversary, he comes into the garden. We know in Genesis chapter 3, he comes into the garden, and what does he do? But he comes to Adam and to Eve, first to Eve, and he deceives Eve. And listen, Satan is a deceiver, and he's a liar, scripture says. He is the father of lies. And he deceives. And right now he desires to deceive each and every one in this room who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What the Bible says is that he desires to blind men's eyes and keep them from seeing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan is a deceiver. Satan is a liar. So he comes to Eve. And one of the first things he says to Eve is, has God said? But what's interesting to me, what one of the things that really stand out to me, and when you look at Genesis chapter 3, and you look at it carefully, what Satan says to Eve, has the Lord said? Has Jehovah said? Now, who is this Jehovah? When mankind is created and mankind is brought into the scene, you see, Jehovah's name, up to this time, before man is made, Jehovah's name was Elohim. Elohim, meaning a plural name of God. But after Adam and Eve were created, it's no longer Elohim, but it's Jehovah Elohim. Because Jehovah is the name of a covenant-keeping God of relationship. The relationship that God wants to have with those that He has created. And listen, I need to tell you tonight that God loves you and God wants to have a relationship with you. But what do we find? When Satan came to Eve, when the adversary came to Eve, the adversary says to Eve, has God said? Has God said? Has Jehovah said? Has this God of relationship said? You know, he didn't say, has Jehovah? He says, has Elohim? Now, here's the thing. What he was trying to do is say to her, listen, don't think about God as a God that wants to have a relationship with you, Jehovah. Think of him as Elohim, just a God that created. Yeah, believe in a creator if you want. You can even be religious if you want. The devil doesn't mind us being religious. He just doesn't want us to be in a relationship with God. You see? And so he says to her, has God said? And instead of saying, has Jehovah said? And what did she do? If you look in Genesis chapter 3, she repeats it. God has said, thus and so. And she lost sight. Not only did he cause her to doubt God's word, but secondly, he caused her to lose sight of the fact that God wants to have a relationship with her. And this is how Satan deceives us today. Satan is constantly seeking to get us to lose sight of the fact that God wants to have a relationship with us. But there's something else in Genesis chapter 3 that I want to draw our attention to. Because right there from the very beginning of mankind, and can I tell you something else? What was Adam and Eve's response when God came in the cool of the day to have fellowship with them? What did they do? They did what? They ran and hid, right? They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves because they realized that they were naked. They realized their own nakedness before God. But secondly, they ran and hid. And it's the first time the idea of fear is mentioned in the Bible. And what I want to tell you is if you know the love of God, you don't have to be fearful because God's perfect love casts out fear. And he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and sound mind. You don't have to be a fearful person. You don't have to be a fearful Christian. You can be a Christian that's basking in the sunshine of God's love, enjoying all that God has for you. You don't have to be a Christian that lives in fear. And worry and doubt, that's from the devil. That's not from God. Fear. You know what fear is? I've often said this. Fear is faithless energy and retreat. Spell it out. Fear is faithless energy. It's faithless energy. Energy without no fear, without any faith. And retreat. Because you can't make any forward progress in your Christian life if you're a fearful Christian. We need faith. What is faith? Faith is forsaking all. I trust him. forsaking all, I trust him. I want to move forward in my Christian life. And so I'm going to forsake everything else, and I'm just going to trust him. Maybe you're here this weekend and you've got battle after battle and you're wondering why you can't win those victories and have those victories in your life.